HR matrices are measurements used to determine the effectiveness and efficiency of HR policies. Now, for example, if an absent rate was 5% last quarter and is now 7.5%, it has increased by 50%. The former are data points and the latter is the metric. Matrices don't say anything about a cause, they measure the difference between numbers. So guys, the important part out here is, metrics don't say anything about a cause, they measure the difference between numbers. So why it is 50%? It was 5. So simply if you minus 7.5 to 5, it is 2.5. So increment of 5 to 2.5 is 50%. That's how it calculates. So this is the data points. And this is the matrix. That means that my absence rate or absenteeism rate has increased by 50%. So typically when a CHRO or a HR head goes for a review, he when asked, he might say, you know what, last quarter my absence rate went up by 50%. So then he might ask, okay, what are your data points? So last quarter it was 5%, this quarter it is 7.5. So increment is that. So once again, metrics don't say anything about cause. They measure the difference between numbers. That's it. People analytics is the quantification of people drivers on business outcomes. Analytics measure why something is happening and what is the impact of what's happening. And that's why analytics is a way of generating insights from data and matrices. Okay. If you look at this from a data matrix analytics example, here there is an opinion. Employee turnover in the quarter is quite high. Now this is an opinion. You are told, you know what, Gabriel? I think the employee turnover in this quarter is quite high. So that's your data, an opinion. What is the data? Employee turnover in this quarter is 22%. It doesn't say whether it is high or low. It says turnover in this quarter is 22%. The matrix says this quarter the employee turnover is higher by 7%. Now, what is the analytics? Structured, design, and communicated properly. What are the insights? One, two, this. Now, when I look at 22% and 7% increase, can you find out what was the data prior to, if it is increased by, higher by 7%? It's simple. I minus 22 minus 7 is 15. So initially it was 15, and now this picture illustrates the relation between metrics and analytics. It starts with an opinion, simply a gut feel, not a fact. Person giving this opinion could be mistaken. The data factualizes the opinion by stating that turnover, the rate quarter is 20%. To determine whether the turnover is high or low, we need to compare it with another data point, say the turnover in the previous quarter or a turnover in the same quarter in the previous year. If we know the company average is 15% and the industry average is 18%, then we have to initiate corrective measures immediately. Because if my company average is 15% and industry is 18%, then I'm high. That is analytics. This is not analytics. This is a kind of an opinion. This is where the matrix come in. So let us do a deep dive and get into an understanding. So let us say, what is the cost of turnover? So the average turnover cost per employee for a company of 2000 full-time employees is rupees 45,000. Am I clear? So average for 200 people, the average cost of turnover is 45,000. You can say, what is a per employee? You can divide 45,000 by 200. But we are not here for per employee. Since we are looking for a turnover, it's a bigger picture. Now the total cost of turnover for the company for the data above, what was the turnover percentage? 22. So 22% of 200 is 44 into 45,000 is 19,80,000. So if we again go back to the previous slide, here we said the turnover of this quarter is 22%. The employee turnover is higher by 7%. Now, if you come to here, and if you do with 15%, you will get the actual cost difference. That is matrix. Another analytics helps you identify the root causes. In this example, how it impacts the business. For example, the cause of higher employee turnover minus the structural changes not communicated properly to get people buy-in. The business impact of the additional costs incurred in the hiring, which comprises of multiple factors. Now, if you do this calculation, 200 into 22% into 45,000 is 19,80,000. 200 into 15% or 200 into 7% into 45,000. That is the difference amount. That is your increased turnover. Now that we are going for one quarter. If that we are able, so again, I'll go back. If you are able to sustain at 22% for the rest of the quarters, still it is higher than the last quarter or the last year. So my data remains the same. So that value increases always. And the final step is the insight. What I conclude from that? How do I improve my communication strategy to obtain people buying? Now, when I say about people matrix, this HR efficiency is the most pertaining to the efficiency of HR functions such as workforce planning, recruitment, selection, training, internal mobility. The effectiveness comes from the workforce cost, employee satisfaction, engagement, and survey. So remember, when anybody speaks to you from a people matrix perspective and they say, you know, my HR is not efficient, they're talking about the HR function as a workforce planning, recruitment, selection, training, and internal mobility. Internal mobility is transfer of employees. So they're talking about these four data facts. Am I clear? When they talk about HR effectiveness, they are talking about HR activities such as employee engagement, retention rate, workforce cost, and employee satisfaction, etc. And business outcome. So anything related to how the HR function is impacting the business outcomes. If I go back, when I say efficiency, it focuses on workforce planning, recruitment, selection, training, internal mobility. So if I am doing everything out here, is that my HR is efficient. If I'm doing good, if my planning is good, able to hire the good talent, they are able to select the good talent, they're trained well, training and development is helping HR function. So HR function is efficient. The moment I say HR is effective, that means I'm talking about the retention rate. How many people have been retained? How employees are engaged? Are they happy? Are my workforce costs getting down? Employee satisfaction is high. These two things will lead to business outcome. And that will impact profitability, market share, revenue turnover, and customer satisfaction. Are we clear? HR efficiency, HR effectiveness, business outcome. Now, these are some of the important people metrics divided into six different groups. HR functions and HR software matrices, recruitment matrix, engagement and retention matrix, performance management matrix, time tracking matrix, and training and development matrix. Generally, these are the six metrics that is required from an HR fraternity. When I say HR function and HR software, it's a cost of HR per employee. The total amount organization spends on HR functions divided by total number of employees. It is usually expressed in absolute currency, INR or USD, and calculated per specific period, for example, on annual basis, right? And HR to, okay. When I say total amount of organization spends on HR functions, what is the recruitment cost? What is the training cost? Efficiency? Or what is the employee engagement cost? When putting up all this cost and dividing by the number of employees, that is what the absolute data that comes up. Ratio of HR professionals to employee. This means how many number of HR is to how many number of employees are there. So it is another measurement that shows HR's efficiency. It indicates the number of HR professions in an organization relative to the total number of employees. HR to employee ratio is simple number of HR employees divided by total number of employees. So if I have a HR team of 50 and if I am dividing it by 5,000, you know what we are telling about. Now, just to give you a few data points, there was a survey done by Forbes Advisor in 2023. They found out an average, and this is in 2023 data, for every 100 employees, there is 1.4 HR people. That's the data that Forbes Advisor have done in 2023. For overall average, for a small scale organization, the HR to employee ratio is 3.4. For a large scale organization, the HR to employee ratio is 1.22. And for a large scale organization, now it has not been defined what is small, medium and large, it is 1.03. SHRM, one of the renowned HR fraternity, says the sweet spot. When you say sweet spot, they're talking about a range. And that range speaks about 1.5 to 4.5 every 100 employees. So ideally, when you look at a higher organization, I am looking at somebody that for every 100 people, there should be at least 4 HR people. Because normal tenacity of behavioral psychology says you can handle only 25 people. That is the reason in training and development, when you're doing a training program, the number of 20 to 25 is easily handleable because you can relate to number of people. So when you say the sweet spot is 1.5 to 4.5, which means 3 to 4 is an exceptional figure of HR employee to total. So HR to employee ratio, that is said. But what is the fact in the current situation? A large scale organization has 1.03 for every 100 people. To be honest with you, one HR every 100 people. Imagine the thought process, the matrices, the cost, the thought processes and all those things. So the buying, and that's why AI comes. The HR software employee participation rate is nothing but number of employees who actively use HR software divided by the total number of employees multiplied by 100 to get a percentage. So actively using HR software divided by the total number of employees. ROI on HR software, again, several factors contribute. Formula is different between cost of the software for the organization, one-time cost plus running cost, which is AMC, hardware, IT stuff, and how much money it generates to save the organization. Effectiveness of HR software, I'll put on this. How many people are using this? You know, how many people are ScreenFlow total time spent on the platform per month? How many average time on the platform? If an employee is only spending 5 minutes on the platform, there is no metrics. So that has to be increased. Now, this is one of the recruitment metrics. Now, what is an acceptance rate? The number of offer letters accepted divided by number of offer letters extended. Once again, sourcing, screening, identifying, interviewing. This is one set. This is one set of matrices. Acceptances, I generated 100 offer letters. Or I generated 50 offer letters. But people who accepted the offer are 25. So my acceptance rate is 50%. Cost per hire, the average cost of hiring a new employee, sum of internal and external cost of hiring. If you are going to a campus, if you're using a license tool, Naukri license paid, LinkedIn license paid, all these things put together divided by the number of employees hired in a given period. That is your cost per hire. External cost, staffing agency, job fair placement, recruitment technology cost, if outsourced, job opening, travel cost, screening. If you're calling applicant for an interview, it will always be a cost to the company. Relocation, signing bonuses, portions of salaries paid to recruiting staff, assessment and interviewing cost, recruiting technology cost, the cost of onboarding and training, lost productivity during training, recruiter travel cost and referral bonuses. These are all internal costs. Now, demographics. The characteristics of workforce such as age, gender, education, ethnicity, length of service are basically part of the characteristics of the workforce. Today, many organizations are striving to hire a workforce of diverse talents, educational background, ethnicity, genders. A diverse team possesses a large pool of skills, innovation and creativity. The total number of employees in the organization by department, by roles, is the headcount. Early turnover rate, the number of new hires who live within a set period of time such as within their first year of employment. That's early time. Generally, they call it 90 days. That's the most early rate. So 0 to 90 days. So from the time of your induction period, training, and the first 3 months of your system is the early turnover rate. But people generally term it within first year of employment. Early turnover rate equal to number of hires who have left the organization during that period and number of new hires from the same period into 100. So early turnover rate, if you have recruited 100 people and out of which 40 people have left, so 40 divided by 100, 40 divided by 50 into 100, that's the percentage of early turnover rate. That's maybe added to attrition, may not be added to attrition, but that's how they call it. They call it ETR, the early turnover rate. Some companies uses something called as a red flag or EEI, early exit indicator. So, or they use EWI, early warning indicator. These are all to monitor early turnover rate. Time to hire is one of the most widely used metrics for recruitment. It measures the number of days between a candidate applying for a job and then accepting an offer. Now, you can also put a matrix from sourcing to screening to identifying to interviewing to hire, but generally they look at the time. So from sourcing, I did it on the first of the month, and if the hiring has happened on the 25th of the month, offer letter accepted, so that's my timeline. Time to hire is 25 days. Average time to hire, first candidate time to hire in days plus second candidate into the N divided by total number of jobs. That will give you the average time to hire. Recruitment efficiency measures the speed at which HR process a candidate assessment, interview, and role acceptance. For campus hires, the average time to hire is less because the offer letters are on the spot. Long time to hire reflects inefficient hiring processes. Now, long time is not a denominator. For example, if you're talking about senior management recruitment, it is generally in India a 2-month process. Generally. Plus, if the company that the person has to leave and join this, if it is 90 days period, then either you buy that or then the total is 5 months. So that's the long time to hire. But normally, when you're long time to hire for a bulk, then it's the impact on the candidate experience. Time to hire should not be confused to time to fill. So understand, I've given something as a time to fill is 45 days, but my offer acceptance is 25 is excellent. But time to fill is 45 days and time to offer acceptance is 47 days. That means I am minus 2 days. So my time to hire is more. It is approval of a job requisition and the candidate accepting the job offer. So generally, this is in definition in line with the ISO 30414 regulation guide. Time to productivity takes the new hire. So I said 0 to 90 days. So that's their time to productivity. There are various places who take 120 days. There are companies which is 30 days or 60 days, but generally it is 90 days. Quality of hire measures the value of the new employee brings to the organization. This metric assesses the effectiveness and recruitment process and the long-term impact of new hires on company performance. Quality of hire is typically evaluated based on several criteria, including the new employee's job performance, their contribution, organizational goals, and how they will fit into the organizational culture. Engagement matrices is nothing but a survey which finds out how many people are satisfied based on the job roles, the work environment, and the organization as a whole. This HR matrix is often measured through surveys, questionnaire, or aspects of job at the workplace. Retention rate is nothing but the opposite of the turnover rate. So number of employees who remained in the organization over a given period of time divided by number of total employees at the beginning of the same given period. So let's say in month of March, 25 people left. In that same period, how many active employees are there? If you divide that, you get the retention rate. Retention rate manager, again, can be broken down by individual teams and managers. Employee Net Promoter Score, again, is a retention matrix. It's expressed as ENPS, is a powerful tool. It's a simply an effective matrix. It allows companies to assess how likely their employees are recommended their organization as a great place to work. Again, it offers a glimpse into how happy and satisfied your employees are. It mirrors NPAs, which is used to evaluate. If you remember, we said there are detractors who are 1 to 6, 7 and 8 are passives, 9 and 10 as the best ones, the highly engaged ones. It's easy to use. The survey is quick to deploy, can conduct more frequently. It's a response on a scale of 0 to 10, 3 categories, promoters, passives and detractors. Promoters are 9 and 10, passives are 7 and 8, and detractors are between 0 to 6. Detractors are dissatisfied and unhappy what you should do with them. Their behavior is generally to criticize the company policies, the pay packets, no bonuses, manager problems. So there is a risk to the company. Passives are somebody who are moderately satisfied but are not engaged or enthusiastic about the company. They might not be actively harm the company, but on a long term, they can be moved down to detractors. Promoters are someone which is kind of a highly satisfied, loyal, top performers of the company, actively promotes the company services. You know, there was a great survey done by HR organizations in UK. They asked a simple question was, how many of you are proud to wear the company ID card with a tag when you're walking through the tube station or the metro station? And that figured out whether they're promoters or passivers or detractors. That's one of the things. So spread positive and about things. So EPS comes equal to percent of promoters minus percent of detractors, the easiest way. Or number of promoters minus number of detractors divided by total number of participants who have done the survey. That's what the EPS score comes. Let us take an example of an ENPS score. Now, what you do is, total number of employees is 60. Make a note. Your promoter are 30 after the assessment. Passives are 15, detractors are 15. So your ENPS score would be promoters minus detractors divided by 60. Why 60? Because total number of employees into 100 is 25. So this score indicates that there are more promoters than detractors. There is a lot of room for improvement. A score of 50 or higher is considered excellent. However, with the room for improvement. So what it says is 25 is kind of a score on the lower side, because out of 60 employees, if I think from a normal perspective, your 50% are promoters, but around 25 to 30% is your detractors. Now, that's a huge number. It's a huge number, because that's how it manifests thing. And there is a lot of room for improvement. Now, if you look at example 2, 2,800, 300 and 900, look at the score. This is the significant of this one. Your promoters are 800, your detractors are 900, score is minus 5. Score indicator, more detractors than promoters, the organization prioritizes employee engagement initiatives to boost employee morale. Why? Okay, on a simpler factor, if I could find out what is my score into 100 is minus 5, because this is 100 divided by this into 100 is minus 5. That's how things are calculations. You have to have these calculations at the peak of your thing, because these are the things you have to give it to your HOD. Talent turnover rate is nothing but the rate of organizations high performing and high potential employees. Total turnover rate is nothing but number of employees who leave the organization with a given period of time divided by average number of total employees into 100. That's your turnover rate. And voluntary turnover rate, the turnover rate including only those employees who leave the organization voluntarily, or taking a career break, I don't want to continue, I am not looking at anything, and all these things. Compensation is the pay packages that should be commensurate to the amount and value of the work done by employees. The payment packages also should be comparable with that of the competitors. Most employees are strongly motivated by pay rewards, so keep track of when an employee's job scope or tenure rises and inform the HR department whether they may be due for a pay increase. Now, a lot of companies, they do a salary validation check by calling a third party and doing it. They call it the salary review method. What they do is, they call the third party and they try to create an industry benchmark of that particular industry to see whether they are at par with the industry. So they kind of find out a data from various companies. They do a survey and find out, okay, for this level in this industry, the pay package should be X. So whether you are X plus one or x or x minus 1. If you're x minus 1, then a salary correction is done. So you will find there are various organizations who do a salary correction every 3 years or 5 years to come to the benchmark. And again, it's a valuable tool for employee engagement. Average time for internal promotion, pay rewards, the number of months taken before an employee with high potential promoted. Like a lot of organizations, they have two kind of promotional matrix. One, fast track method, generally 12 to 18 months, and one, a normal timeline of 24 to 30 months. That's the normal cycle. So the person who is treated as high potential and high performer and is going through a fast track mode, he will be taking a journey of 18 months and will be getting promoted after 24 months. So that means your promotion is selected in the 18 months. There are a lot of companies who give them that period of 18 months, but the organizations who are better in people matrices or they want to retain more, they create a 6 month training program for that person to do a handholding for that job. And after 24 months, they are done. For the people who are at normal rate of 24 months to 30 months, after 24 months, once they are done, they again go through a training process or they are promoted directly. By promoting employees internally encourages them to continue performing at their best. There are a few companies in India where they don't take people at a managerial level. They always have believed, and that's their employee value proposition when they hire from campuses. They tell those people in the campuses that we only hire at executive and team lead level. We do not hire at our managerial level. They also showcase that if they have hired anybody from outside, and that is only at a senior level because it's a strategic intent. Company performance evaluates correlation between employee engagement rates, say eNPS, and that of a company's profitability, assess how increase or decrease in NPS score is increasing the company's bottom line or the profitability. Employee performance, you can track employee performances through self-assessment, peer reviews. Again, 360 degree tool is the ideal way. Goal tracking, management software include goal tracking, employees, goal setting, progression, revenue per employee, the total number of revenue divided by total number of employees is revenue per employee. The metrics will depend on the type of industry. To determine the right revenue per employee for an organization, compare the results of those of the competitors and other companies within the same industry segment. So for example, your revenue is 1000 and your total employee is 10. So that means your per employee revenue is 100. But is that 100 benchmark across the competitors, or it is plus or it is minus? If it is minus, that means your per employee revenue is lower. If it is plus, you are at a good track. Usually calculated on annual basis, it is useful comparing the year-on-year growth of revenue per employee as well as comparing organization to their competitors. Billable hours, this is one of the most concrete examples of performance measure, and it is especially relevant in professional service firms, software development, law, and consulting. Relating to this kind of performance to employee engagement and other input matrix makes for an interesting analysis, benchmarking different department to provide valuable insights. This metric also relates to employee utilization rate, which refers to the amount of working time an employee spending on billable task. Time tracking metrics, it only focuses on absenteeism, average number of days employees are absent in a given time period, excluding approved time off, which is paid leave. Turnover, absenteeism, also a strong indicator of dissatisfaction. If there are more number of people who are absent, that means people are disoriented. Difference between individual managers and departments are very interesting indicators. Absenteeism rate is equal to number of absent days by total working days into 100. I mean, that's simple. And absent per manager, again, the same way, can be broken down to teams and managers. Absenteeism rate is the same. Overtime hours, number of overtime hours worked by employees in a given time period. There are companies who don't have overtime hours, that is fine. This can be calculated to an average number of broken down to individual employees. Overtime expenses equal to total overtime hours worked into overtime period. Training and development matrices, again, the number of employees who have completed a given training divided by total number of employees who attended. So number of employees who completed a given training. So leadership program. So in the LMS system, the total number of employees who attended is 100. How many of people completed? 25. So 25% is the training completion rate. Time to completion, average time taken for an employee to complete the given training program or the learning path. The training effectiveness is very simple. There are several measures that affect training effectiveness. Kirkpatrick model is there, or a knowledge retention test is there, which is a pass-fail rate. Assessment tests are there, you know, knowledge check is there. So by this, you can do the metrics. Training expenses per employee, the total cost of the organization's training courses and programs put together divided by total number of employees. Very simple. Some organization divide the total cost incurred in training by the total number of trainees, or breaking the cost each type of training, and that we go. But the base is the total cost of the organization training courses and programs. So generally, if you're doing a leadership program in the market, what's the rate of that for 2 day or 3 day? You include that and divide by the number of employees. It comes to the total cost as this. So if you have a budget of let's say 100, and you have let's say you have a training, you have done a training program of total 1000 rupees, and there are total employees are 100, that means the per employee training cost is 10 rupees. Recruitment cost is nothing but it calculates the total cost of recruitment per hire. A company spent $20,000 on internal expenses and $30,000 on external expenses towards recruitment activities. Hired 10 employees. So $20,000 on internal expenses, $30,000 on external expenses to hire 10 employees. The average salary of these employees for the quarter is 45,000. What is the recruitment cost for hire? Simple. 20,000 plus 30,000 divided by 10 is equal to $5,000. Why? Because 20,000 is your internal expenses, 30,000 is your external expenses, and because you hired 10 people, so $50,000 divided by 10 is $5,000 is your recruitment cost per hire. Cost ratio is nothing. So again, a company spent, now this is recruitment cost. This is cost ratio. A company spends $70,000 on internal expenses and $100,000 on external expenses towards recruitment of 20 employees. The total salary of these employees is $450,000. What is the recruitment cost ratio? Very simple. Internal cost plus external cost divided by total salary into 100. So $70,000 for $100,000 divided by $450,000 into 100. So the cost recruitment cost ratio is 37.7 or 38%. Or you can do it on your own. You can put any other way and can check it out. But remember, internal cost plus external cost divided by total salary into 100. But if you come here, we are talking about recruitment cost, not cost per ratio. So here we are not taking the salary into consideration. We are only taking the total expenses occurred by the number of employees hired. As simple. Here, because it is cost ratio, we have to also include the salary of those people during that time. Simple example, ENPS scores. This is our data. Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata, Hyderabad. Number of employees is 60, 100, 90, 80. So now this is a data which is zone wise. So out of 60, Mumbai has 30, passive 20. This is the results show that Hyderabad office has highest ENPS score, indicating that it is the most loyal and satisfied employees. On the other hand, Kolkata office has a high negative score, almost minus 9, indicating that it has most dissatisfied and unhappy employees or detractors in the organization. You can also do an overall picture. So the data subset comes from the overall picture and then you divide it into zonal ways. So that way, when you have regional HRs, they should look into this. So you, as a central HR, should update the Kolkata HR, you know what? Your ENPS score is minus 8.89, which is really the lowest. Let us know what is your plan and actions, what you're willing to do. Are we clear? Thank you. I hope you understood well. We'll see you in the next chapter.